I'm not used to this, having people behind me. It makes me very nervous. We heard two things in the gospel today that sometimes raises questions. One is that there are sins against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven, and that Jesus has brothers and sisters. Both are wonderful topics for homilies, but if you have questions about those, I would suggest when you get home today, look up CatholicAnswers.com, and they will give you a much better explanation of both of those than what I ever could. What I would like for us to consider and look at today in this Sunday of in ordinary time is to believe and realize that Jesus only has one homily. Jesus only has one homily. And that homily is always about his Father. Often, and we hear it a lot, people will say, I love the God of the New Testament. I do not like the God of the Old Testament. Because it comes across that he is harsh, unbending, almost brutal, unloving, and very remote. Whereas the God of the New Testament is just the opposite. Open, forgiving, and loving. And one of the reasons, besides of our own salvation, that Jesus came as man, the second person of the Trinity, was to reveal to us how much the Father loves us. And he says it often, that he has come to reveal the God. And so we look at this first reading today, when man's relationship with God was broken because of the sin of Adam and Eve. The relationship that Adam and Eve had with God was so close that God would come down in the evenings and walk with them in paradise. They were very, very close. And in the gospel today, we see Jesus, or we see God coming and asking for Adam. If we believe that the God of the Old Testament was harsh, we might think that God calls him, Adam, where are you? The way we would call out for one of our children when we're upset with something that they have done, right? But let's think of this a little differently. That God comes into the Garden of Eden and he says, Adam, where are you? Almost pleading, Adam, where are you? And it isn't because God does not know where Adam is physically. That is not what God is asking when he says, Adam, where are you? God knows that the relationship between him and Adam and Eve has been broken. And that's what he is asking. Where are you in my relationship with you? And when they finally encounter them, God asks them, how did you know that you were naked? Because they have covered themselves with branches and leaves, their nakedness. They had never realized that they had been naked before. And so God knows for sure that they have broken a commandment that he has given them, not to eat of the forbidden fruit. And God always only gives us those commandments that are taught by the church for our own good, for our own good. And it's when we think that we are smarter than God, or that God is just trying to ruin my fun in life, that we think it is okay to break his rules, that they are dumb, they're not in concordance with the rest of society, so I should be able to do what I want. We see also how the evil one operates. Adam and Eve, if you recall in Genesis, when Eve is presented to Adam, we hear, this is why a man leaves mother and father, clings to his wife, and they become one. They become two people in one relationship. And that's the way the relationship was with God and Adam and Eve. It was God, Adam and Eve, in one relationship. The evil one splits relationships. That's what he does all the time. He tries to isolate us and lead us into sin. And he begins by isolating Eve from Adam and draws her into sin by lying. That's all the evil one ever does, is lie. God said, if you ate this fruit, you would die. He's lying to you. If you eat this fruit, you'll become a god. And when we choose to do evil, that's what we are saying. I am God. I am my own God. Eve then brings her husband Adam in and helps him to commit sin. And now their relationship with each other and with God is torn apart. And God is going to banish them from the Garden of Eden. We will now have to work. All of humanity's relationship with God has been broken. And that relationship between Adam and Eve themselves was so close and yet damaged so greatly by this sin. When we look at that book of Genesis, when God first creates man, when we read it in English and we see the word man, we just get the form in our mind of a human male. But in reality, God creates a human being. And when the human being realizes that there are no other mates that are fitful for him, he induces a deep coma, puts Adam to sleep. Now, Christopher West, in his dissertation on St. John Paul II's dissertation on the theology of the body, is that in that deep sleep, that induced coma, God takes out everything that was woman in that human being. That first human being had everything that's both male and female in one person, and draws it out and makes Eve. That's why they are compatible, and they are for the rest of their lives, as all married couples, to strive to become one. The evil one, on the other hand, strives to separate us and to lead us into sin. And Jesus has come not only to save us, but to help us to understand how much the Father loves us. And he does it in that parable of the prodigal son, where the younger son does something so horrible. What he says to his dad is, I wish you were dead. Why don't you have the good sense to die so I can get my inheritance? And so out of love, the father splits the estate and gives it to the son, who then leaves and goes to a foreign land to spend it. He doesn't even spend it in his community. And the whole community, not just the father, is upset with the son, but the whole community, because he is rejecting them. And he's had the audacity to go out of town to spend his money in another place. When he finally loses it all, ends up being a herder of pigs, wanting just to eat the food being fed to the pigs. Comes back, wants to come back to his father and to ask for forgiveness. And in that parable, he begins to prepare his confession. How many of you here have middle school and high school kids? Anybody here? Whenever they've done something and they've gotten caught at it? They usually have a pretty good story, don't they? Yeah, you remember when you were that age and you were in trouble? You came up with, started this story in your head, how, what you were going to say to get yourself back into good graces with mom and dad. And that's what this young man does. He's formulating in his mind how he's going to ask for forgiveness from his father. And his father has longed for him to return home. And he sees one day this gaunt figure in rags approaching. And he realizes that it is his son. And he does not wait for the son to get to the house. He runs towards him. Now, Middle Eastern men do not run, because they're dressed like this. Can you imagine seeing me run in this outfit? I mean, I can't imagine me running in a pair of blue jeans, let alone in this garb. But he hitches up his garbs and he runs to his son, throws his arms around him, and his son never gets the confession done. Father, I have sinned against you. And the father starts talking, giving him a ring, kissing him on the cheek, wrapping his arms around him, because he knows when they get back to the town, the people will be lined up to spit on him, to throw rocks at him, because they are still angry at the way he has treated his father and them by leaving. Jesus wants us to know that the God, the Father, loves each and every one of us just like that. That there is nothing too horrible that we could have ever done in our lives. That the Father, not just standing and waiting for you to return to him, but runs towards you. If we've ever been in serious sin, have decided to come to the sacrament of reconciliation, the Father doesn't wait till you're in the confessional to wrap his arms around you and welcome you home. He is running towards you the moment you make that decision to reinstate your relationship with him. Because he wants you to hear him every day, as Adam heard in that first reading, "Where are you? Where are you in our relationship? Where are you in my relationship?" God the Father calls us today to fall in love with him and to realize how much he loves us. And in our journey back to heaven, he wants to give us everything we need to be able to make that. Maybe make it a practice every morning when you wake up. Father, where are you? And listen for the Father to ask you, where are you? Not in location, but in relation. What is my relationship with God?